Good morning, welcome back to Nachyomi. Today we're going to be studying the 10th parak of Sefer Shmuel Beis. At this point in time, David HaMelech has secured himself both internally and externally as a king. He has quickly brought all the other nations into submission around him. However, this story is a standalone story which describes a very peculiar incident which occurs at this point in time. So what happens is the neighboring country of Ammon, which is sort of to the southeast of Israel, across the Jordan River, the king, whose name was Nachash, passes away, and his son, Hanun, takes his place. And David HaMelech decides that because his Nachash, the king of Ammon, had done chesed for David HaMelech is going to send a delegation for the as tribute to the mourning son, Hanun. However, when these messengers, when this delegation arrives to the land of Ammon in the east, some of the advisors say to the king, do you really think that he's coming to honor you? You know what they're really doing? They're just here to take an excuse to check out the land, to conquer it. So in response to this, Hanun takes the servants of David and does something interesting. He cuts half the beards on their face, and he cuts half of their clothing and sends them back on their way, obviously embarrassing them in such a way. When David finds out about this, he was, you know, these people are clearly terribly embarrassed. So he allows them to sit in Jericho, in the city of Jericho, which is, the first city one would encounter when crossing the Jordan back from the east going to the west. And he allows them to, he gives them the space to be able to regrow their beards in dignity to come back to society. In the meantime, Ammon, seeing that David HaMelech was upset about this, now know that they need to take the proactive step in this military escalation. And what they do is that they reach out financially, by Yiskaru it says, they sort of rent to Aram and Beis Rehov and Aram Tzova. They gather together an army of 20,000 soldiers and then another from the king of Macho, another 1,000 in Ishtov, another 12,000. So we're talking about a pretty large army over here. We have an axis of these powers expecting David HaMelech's reprisal for this incident. What actually happens? David HaMelech hears about the army, so he sends his general out. Interestingly, David HaMelech does not take action himself right now. He sends his general, Yoav. Yoav goes out there with the troops, and he realizes that he is really surrounded. On the one hand, you have the front of the Aram Tzava army, and with Ishtov and Macha, and then on the other hand, you have Ammon themselves. So what he does is he splits his troops into two, and he has one set of troops under him, and his brother Avishai, remember Yoav and Avishai are the children of Tzeruiah. They had a third brother who was killed beforehand by Avner, we saw earlier, but nonetheless he splits up them up, and he basically says, whatever happens, if I'm winning, you join me, and vice versa. And Yoav comes in front of it, and he gives this very beautiful speech, and he says, just the line is very very strong, Im techazak Aram mimeni, if Aram is stronger than me, vayisali Lishua, then you come and save me if it's too much for me. I'll come save you if they're too strong for you. Chazak v'nischazek ba'ad amenu. We should be strong and strengthen ourselves on behalf of our people. Va'ad orei elokeinu, and because of the cities of our God. V'Hashem yaseh hatov beinov, and God will do what is good in His eyes. What in fact happens is Yoav steps forward and sends the Ammonites into direct flight. And likewise, seeing this, the Aram troops as well fled from Avishai, and it was a devastating attack, and they bring them back to Yerushalayim after conquering them. While this is happening, you know, you think this should be obvious to everybody around that you should not start with Israel, but nonetheless, Hadad Ezer, who's the king of Aram, not Aram Sova, but Aram itself, sees that this is happening, and he sends, puts together his troops. He gets a whole army to go against them. And this time, David HaMelech himself goes out, it sounds like, brings out an army to Chelama, and in this war creates devastation. When David HaMelech kills, the numbers we're given is 700 chariots, 40,000, cavalry, and captures their king, their general Chaim Shovach. So there's really a lot going on over here. And this really sets the tone, and the perek ends. Vayiru Aram loyshia od es bnei Amon, and Aram no longer will ever respect their alliance to save Amon because of this, because what David HaMelech showed Aram, and the rest of them are turned into servants and in submission to David. Interesting perek. A few things to consider when looking at this perek. Number one is David HaMelech talks of a kindness that Amon did to his father, which is why he is actually sending this delegation in the first place. What was that kindness? We don't really see this explicitly. So the Mefarshim point out, the Metzudas David quotes a Medrash in Bamidbar Rabbah, which says that when David Melech sent his parents to Moab, we know that that did not end up well. Moab actually killed David Melech's parents, which is why David Melech acted so harshly previously when attacking Moab. But David Melech's brothers, who were also in safe haven of Moab, managed to escape Moab, going southwards to Ammon, where they found refuge. So David Melech in recognizing the goodness done to his brothers, this is why he sent this delegation. There's an interesting halachic debate surrounding this as to whether David HaMelech was actually allowed to do this. Because the Torah says pretty explicitly, Lo Yisid Rosh Shlomom, don't search out the peace, don't seek out the peace of these nations, referring to Ammon and Moab. And here is David HaMelech seeking out the peace. So the Kesef Mishnah, the Rav Yosef Karo in the Halachos of Melachim in Perek Vov actually attacks this and quotes the Medrash in Parshas Pinchas, which says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu really was upset with David HaMelech. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I said, Lo Yisid Rosh Shlomom, yeah, I don't seek out their peace, and you sought out their peace, so I'm going to show you that this is the wrong thing. This is what the Kesef Mishnah asks. How could David HaMelech have done this? There are those who answer and say, well, David HaMelech was responding to as a quid pro quo here. It wasn't simply initiated by David. Nonetheless, it's a debate as to how worthy it was for David to do this. It is interesting to note on a contemporary basis today, there's so many times that Israel tries to do good to her neighbors and are at best misunderstood and at worst snuffed and blamed for things. So, you know, for just as an example, you know, in recent times there was an earthquake on the Iraq-Iran border, and of course Israel offers help rescue directions and soldiers to send, and they are almost always snubbed by those countries who prefer to let their own die rather than have Israel help them. That's on the one level. But you know, you have other times where Israel's reached out to help, and it's actually seen as a negative thing. In the book 6 Days of War, Michael Oren pointed out that the critical point at the beginning of the Six-Day War, this was in May 1967, so this is really just the month before war's breaking up. The tensions are very high, the Straits of Tirana are closed, and this was going to be the first time, well, not the first time, but there was going to be a parade, the Yom HaAtzma'ut parade, which was in May, would be held in Yerushalayim. It rotated from city to city, and relenting to the powers of the world, they decided to pull the heavy artillery out of the parade so as not to incite their neighbors. But it's funny because then at that exact point, the Soviets called up Egypt to say that Egypt needs to start mobilizing further because Israel was about to attack Syria. How do they know about to attack Syria? Because they had no artillery in the military parade in Jerusalem. Meaning, what Israel was doing in order to be able to preserve the peace was seen as the reason why they were actually attacking, which of course was misconstrued evidence completely, which happens time and time again on almost a daily basis in Israel history. It starts over here where David HaMelech is trying to do the right thing. He's sending a peaceful delegation. It's misinterpreted and seen as the wrong thing, which leads to ultimately to a war. Nonetheless, let's return to our actual text. The Ralbag points out that, you know, when you're looking at this beard business, it's clear that going clean shaven in those days was a no-no because it was so embarrassing that it wasn't that the solution would be, you know, we'll just cut off the other half of the beard. Clearly, having no beard or half a beard is a terrible, terrible thing. The Malbim points out that it was symbolic to them because what Amon was saying to them is, we kind of half trust you that you're doing the right thing. It looks like you're walking the walk, but we don't really believe that this is what you actually believe, that that's what actually you mean. So they sort of shave it off symbolically to say, we can't know if we can really fully trust you. When we're looking at this battle, was this battle actually a natural or supernatural battle? It is interesting that there is a suggestion which is brought down in many of the poskim that we would say a Birkas HaNais if we knew where this particular battle took place, because this is clearly a supernatural miracle in terms of the numbers that would be that were being fought over here. If we knew where this battle of Avishai and Yoav what actually was, this is one of the examples in halacha of Birkas HaNais. One last thing which is very fascinating to note over here, which is an anecdote when it comes to tefillah. The Chiddah, quoting on this particular area in Tanakh, quotes that beautiful pasuk which Yoav says, we're going to do what we need to do, But Hashem yaseh atov be'enav. God will ultimately do what is good in His eyes. And in fact, the Kesef Mishnah points out that in certain traditions we say that pasuk, which is Hashem yaseh atov be'enav. Hashem will do what is good in His eyes. We say this at the end of Birkas HaChodesh. We say Hashem yimaleh mishalos li ben l'tov. Hashem will fulfill the request of our heart for the good. Meaning, not always do we know what's good for ourselves. Not always do we see what looks like successful to us is what's success to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Yoav humbly submits after saying we need to fight for our land, fight for our people, fight for our cities. But ultimately, Hashem is going to do what's good. And that's what we ask in all of our prayers to Hashem, is Hashem, please help us. We're doing what we're supposed to. Please meet us and allow it to be the right thing for you as well. In the meantime, have a wonderful, meaningful day.